Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord. We are going to continue from where we ended last week. If you remember very well, having your printout there, I began with Mark chapter 11, verse 20 to 25, which talks about faith. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples about having faith. And we went ahead and looked at various things in there. So we talked of having faith in the Lord and believing that whatever we ask for in prayer will be ours. And then we also ended by talking about something important in verse 25, which was about forgiveness. Yeah, so that was our last discussion. We said that just as Jesus said that, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. So we talked about that to say as we are praying, whenever we remember that, oh, there are some unattended issues there, we need to just make sure that we make peace. We also asked to say, what if the people we are supposed to make peace with are not around? We said we just need to commit such issues to prayer before the Lord. And then God will grant us peace. So today, I want us to transition. Same topic, keys to the powerful and prevailing prayers. Today, I want us to concentrate about the power of praying together in the church. The power of the believer's prayer in the church. The power of coming together. So this one, it can be, the one we looked at last week can be applied as an individual's, you know. It can also be applied to the church. But today specifically, I want to look at the examples in which a group of people gathered together, they prayed, and then they saw the power of God. And basically, I'm in the book of Acts today. I want us also to understand that we are going to dwell much in Acts chapter 12, looking specifically at the Apostle Peter when he was arrested and put in prison. The Bible tells us that, as we are going to see, as we read, that when he was arrested, put in prison, it wasn't him who was interceding or praying to God for his release. Instead, he slept. An anointed apostle decided to sleep. We don't know whether he was stressed out or maybe he had been, you know, given some strokes and then he was very tired or injured or something. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But all we know is that he was fast asleep. But the prayer of the church, the believers, they gathered together and began to pray for him. Then he will have an angelic visitation. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of, you know, insights about the importance of a group of people. When we come in the book of, I will just start with this one, then I will dive in our today's. When we come to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, let me just find that one. So, praise the name of the Lord. I think it's verse 30. Yeah, it's correct. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. The Bible says, how could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sowed them, unless the Lord had given them up? Just right there. Amen. How can one person put 1,000 to flight? How can two people put 10,000 to flight unless the rock, that is the Lord, has sowed them? What that means is that when God goes before you in battle, there is power that is released. God will cause an individual to put 1,000 enemies to flight. They will run away. That is how fierce we are in the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm. Praise God. Now, look at this. One person can put 1,000 to flight, but two people can put 10,000. Can you see how the number is doubling? If one person can put 1,000 to flight, logically speaking, it's supposed to be 2,000 as have to be put to flight by how many people? Two people. But look at how the number is doubled and above double, beyond double. So two people will put 10,000 to flight. Now, I'm just trying to show us the power of being more than one person. Are we getting that image?
Yeah.
Joshua also says the same thing in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 10. Joshua 23 verse 10. He also communicates the same idea that one of you shall put 1,000 to flight. The same thing. Joshua will repeat these words. You'll remember. Let me read the last one in the Old Testament. I looked at it in the previous Bible study. That is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9. I'll read up to verse 12. The Bible says, two people are better off than one. I'm reading from New Living Translation. So if you hear different words coming out different, just know it's Living, New Living Translation. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Verse 10. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Indeed, in real trouble. Verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Okay, it brings it well in this context. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Amen. Jesus will also institute the church by saying something like, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Not where one. Let's cross over now to our to our topic. So, just as I've said, I've left some introduction there about faith, because every prayer, be it an individual prayer, you are alone, you need faith. As a congregation, as we are praying, we need to have faith in the Lord. And so, I wrote something like, therefore, today we will look at the power of the corporate prayers of the believers in the church according to the book of Acts. Just as we saw in the last set of series about the power of working together as the body of believers. So, I've given some scriptures there. Number one, in the book of Acts chapter 1, we are going to hear that before the Holy Spirit came, the believers were afraid of the Jews. They said, oh, those guys who killed the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones who crucified him, they might even come after us. So, but they followed the instructions which the Lord Jesus Christ had told them to say, wait, you shall wait. And they waited for 40 days, when we take like counting the number of days. They waited for 40 days, and they had one place where they used to pray from. They made that to be their temple, the upper room. So they could go and gather in there and pray. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says that, and the believers, let me just go to that one. I want to mention something very important. Praise God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Verse 14, the Bible says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brother of Jesus. The brothers of Jesus. So this was after Jesus had ascended. They met together. The Bible doesn't say that each disciple went in their closet and they were praying. They decided to gather together. Like the way we gather every morning during intercession, every Sunday evening. We gather in fire and thunder of prayer. Amen. So they met together to pray. Constantly. The other versions use the word earnestly. So, it is very important for us as the church to be meeting together constantly in prayer. There is power in doing so. As we are going to see about Peter. There is power in doing so. So, as they continued to pray, the Bible is mentioning deliberately, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was among the people who were praying to the Lord. Amen. If I can take that further, I can ask a question to say, if she was also among the people who were praying to this Jesus, then why praying to her? That is a question anybody can figure out by themselves. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So they prayed earnestly together. Is that okay, Brie? Oh, that's when you've gotten it. Yeah, okay. Some denomination they pray to Mary. So that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but here we are seeing Mary, the mother of Jesus herself, was praying to Jesus, was praying to God. Amen? Praise God. Okay. So as they were praying constantly, constantly, it doesn't mean you just pray today, okay, in a month I will just go and just show up. You know, maybe one of the morning intercession or one Saturday evening at VCF. I'll just show up once, then I'll disappear and then I'll come again after some time. No, constantly, it means over and over again without breaking the chain. Amen. That's where the power lies. And so as they continued to do that, lo and behold, on the day of Pentecost, the power of God will come down. The Spirit of God himself will manifest and endure, fill the people, and there will be a divine turnaround. The world will be turned upside down. Up to today, it is still turning. Amen. From that day. And people sometimes they ask you to say, but why the day of Pentecost? Why did the Spirit of God come on the day of Pentecost? He came on the day of Pentecost because that was the day on which different people from different nations had come to observe the festival of Passover. Amen. So they came to observe, actually, the Pentecost itself. That's why it is called the day of Pentecost. They came to observe that holiday. You remember last time I was preaching about, what was that? I was preaching about the Palm Sunday. Yeah. When Jesus was entering, there were thousands of people. Why? Because that was the time people were observing the Passover holiday. You know? And Jesus had to die as a sacrificial lamb on the day of the Passover to fulfill the Old Testament image, picture, prophecy, which was foreshadowed by the children of Israel putting the blood on the doorpost on the day of their deliverance. So that was pointing to the blood of Jesus, which would come later and liberate the people once and for all. Amen. So even on this day, it was during this holiday, and God wanted many witnesses, many people, to be touched just right there. Because what is going to happen is, after they are hit by the Spirit of God, the tongues of fire will rest upon each one of them, and they will begin to speak in audible tongues. They will begin to speak in literal languages. I'm a Zambian Bemba. I believe if I was there, I could have had my Bemba, you know. Twami totela mweresa, meaning we praise you, God. I could have heard Peter maybe speaking in my Bemba tongue. So each one of them was able to hear them speak in their own mother tongue. And then they were saying, these guys are not from our nation, but how come they are speaking that language? Others, you know, there are always people who oppose some things, even when it is real. Others were like, forget, these guys are just drunk, you know. With the power of wine, early in the morning, they are drunk. And then Peter had to stand up and told them to say, brothers, this is what the prophet Joel said, that in the last days, I'll pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall interpret dreams. Amen. So, the power of the prayer in the upper room. Most of the times we just run to say, on the day of Pentecost, the power came down. But we forget what made that power to manifest. It was the prayer of the believers in unity in that room, just as we have gathered here. Amen. God saw that and he said, okay, the people are ready to receive the power so that they can go and begin to preach. So we are seeing that the church prayed earnestly to God and his presence was manifested. I just wrote his presence. There was, you know, my hands slipped. Yeah. So we need to understand that. Then the second thing is that in the book of Acts chapter 3 verse 1, the believers committed themselves to prayer as an observance. As an observance, meaning that they made it to be a tradition to pray every day. Acts chapter 3 verse 1 tells us that as Peter and John were going up to pray in the afternoon, they were going up to the temple in the afternoon to pray. They found a man who was crippled from birth. And then he asked them for alms. And looking straight at him, they said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Helping him with their hands, the man limped and he started walking. And the Bible says that he went together with them into the temple, jumping and praising the Lord. Now, what I want us to mark there is that when we look at the background of these apostles, they used to pray three times a day. In the morning, they'll go up to the temple to pray. In the afternoon, at noon actually, they'll go up to the temple to pray. In the evening, they'll go up to the temple and pray. This is the same picture which was done in the Old Testament. Sacrifices used to be done three times. If, you know, those religious people wants to just be there, like Job, who could even sacrifice for his children, to say, perhaps they have sinned, Lord, I am doing it on their behalf. They used to do it three times, in the morning, at noon, and at evening. Hallelujah. So, as the church, as Vision Christian Fellowship, we should make prayer life as our tradition, as an observance. It is something that we need to commit ourselves to. We should devote ourselves to prayer. Amen. Amen. It is very sweet to pray together. Amen. Because if I come, I am very low. I'm just pushing myself, maybe even when walking. I'm not even walking properly. Because I'm heavily burdened by the issues of life. But when I come to the group like this, as each one begin to call out in the spirit and pray, I will feel energized. And right there, breakthrough will come. In Jesus' name. Sometimes even if I have not prayed, myself, but by the prayer of others, I'll be charged and testimonies will manifest. That is the secret of praying together. Amen. That is the secret. When I'm praying, I want you to have this picture. I'm now going as an African, you know, a believer. I want you to have this picture. Okay? I want you to imagine that there is a thousand of demons or wizards and witches. Don't be scared. You know, you are children of God. You'll be like, ooh, what is he talking about? I want you to imagine maybe a thousand of wizards and witches or demons. They are just there. And then I want you also to look at 10,000 on the other side. And then you, with your own strength, you are able to pray in that room of yours, at your house or at your workplace, anywhere, and 1,000 will be able to run away. And the moment you do that, then the 10,000 begins to charge against you. You will need reinforcement. That is the principle in the military, not so. When you feel outnumbered, what do you do? There will be reinforcement that is going to be caught. To say, okay, bring them, bring them. Now, that's why the first scripture that we read said, one of you is going to put 1,000 to flight, but 10,000 will need 2 people. Amen. Okay, let me do this. Maybe it's not making a lot of sense. Let me rephrase it. You are alone, and then there is 10,000 charging against you. You are there fighting in the spirit. Now, this is spiritual, so you'll be like, ah, this is not realistic. How can 10,000 come against me? No, in the spiritual world, these things happen.
Yeah.
So they'll be charging against you. But when you begin to pray, 10,000 have come. You are praying, you are praying, you are praying. Remember, you are empowered by the Spirit of God, and at the same time, your body is getting tired. You need reinforcement. Amen. You are going to pray and get tired for you to achieve a victory. If you are alone, you take longer to attain breakthrough if you are alone. But if you are 2 or 3 more, you just present a request to say, look, this is my situation. I begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Pastor Michael, Daniel, John, Mona, everyone, begin to pray over one thing. Can you imagine how quick the manifestation is going to be? Because the enemy will be hit from side, from every direction. It turns this side, bam. It turns this side, spiritual blows. You don't just see them. You throw them in the spirit. In our churches back in Zambia, in Africa actually, we do some prophetic things. There is one, you know, of course, it was a bit extreme. I've never done that. The pastor told his members to go with whips in the church. And then when they began to pray prophetic prayers, they were shouting, devil, the devil that has been disturbing my family, I whip you. And then they were hitting on the ground. Bam, 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 the whole church. When I saw that, I said, ooh, it's powerful, but I don't have that revelation. But I have done prophetic boxing, you know, being a karateka and kicks. I am praying sometimes, I'm in martial art, in the name of Jesus, I kick you. You know, I'm throwing, I'm punching, I'm doing this, I'm doing, you know, in the spiritual realm I'm imagining. And all of a sudden I'll see a miracle coming. I'll say, oh, I boxed them down in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So now imagine that picture. This one is hitting from this side. They try to run this way, they are hit by Mark on the other side. They try to go this, they are hit everywhere until they just disappear and surrender to say, we've let go of this one. Enough is enough. That is how we find breakthrough in the kingdom of God. So God understands the strength of more than one person. Amen. To stress that further, that's why there is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he encourages the unity of more than one person. That does not mean that he's weak. As God the Father, he can't perform something. No. But he just wants to teach us that relationship, that bond, which we need to have as the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's make the prayer life as an observance, as a tradition. Every time we need to pray. Let not a day pass. You know, sometimes I've been there whereby I am feeling lazy to pray, especially in the past, before I even became a pastor. I'll be feeling lazy to pray, and then I'll justify myself firstly by saying, I have too much faith, so I don't even have to pray. You know, so everything, it is well, hallelujah. But meanwhile, it's just the deception, I am tired. You know, let's not have such faith and say, no, I can't pray, it is always done. No, God wants you and me. Remember last week I mentioned that everywhere Jesus was saying, when you pray, ask. He didn't say, be silent and everything will begin to work out.
Yeah.
Every time we say, pray, pray, pray constantly. Do not give up. Persistently. He gives even examples of the Shunammite woman, the Canaanite woman, the centurion, the guy who had faith like nobody else. In Israel at that time. Praise God. So, he wants us to be praying all the time. As the church, there is power in praying together. Try it. Try it. Try it. Begin to come every evening, Sunday. If you have time every morning, come. Be involved in that corporate prayer. Even on Sundays. Of course, thank God for the podcast. You know, some people, I know some people even in Africa who are saying, ah, no, I don't go to church. I worship on TV. No, it's not the same. Amen. There is the presence that is different than in the airwaves, you know, especially after the sermon has been preached. Yes, the fire will be released, but in the moment, there is just a different dynamic that is present. So we have to be there. I heard people, I know, I just send my offering online and I don't even pray, you know, like going to the physical church. That is good, yes. But you also needed to be inside the church. Hear the word when it is being preached. Tap that anointing, you know, when things are being called upon in prayer. That is powerful. Amen. So, they committed themselves to prayer as an observance, which made them to walk in signs and wonders. Prayer is what manifests miracles in our lives. When you hear Pastor Michael saying, somebody has a spine problem, that did not just come. It came out of being immersed in prayer. That's when the Holy Spirit speaks. Amen. The more you pray, the more you'll be hearing him, more speaking. That's the way we communicate with God. That's the way we have fellowship with him. Praise God. Amen. Number three, the church prayed together for boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. When we go to that scripture, we are going to hear that. I will not go there, but I'll just quote. That when they prayed as believers, when they cried out to God, the place in which they were meeting shook physically. Not in the spirit like, no, I hear the shaking. No, physically. Gitchy, 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 like an earthquake. And people are like, hey, what's happening? And I'm sure the apostles were saying, calm down. This is the presence of God. He wants you to understand that he's here. He's registering his presence. So that you and me can believe more. God does such things sometimes. Because if it is just silent, you know, people are like, ah, is he here or is not here? Yeah, but so yeah, the ground had to shake because they had faced a lot of persecution. And so they were praying. And to say, Lord, grant us the boldness. We are being threatened every day not to preach the gospel. But give us the boldness that will continue. And the confirmation came. Kichi, 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 by the fire of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, there is power in praying together. If there was that physical shaking in the book of Acts chapter 4, as we pray today, there is a lot of spiritual shaking that happens in the spiritual realm. which brings liberty and deliverance in our lives. Praise God. Number four, the apostles devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So, we know that there's a story, the scenario going on to say some widows were not getting the fair share, so they were complaining in the distribution of the food at church. So, this, they called upon the apostles to get involved. The apostles said, we will not involve ourselves in the ministry of food distribution and neglect prayer and ministry of the word. Amen? So they appointed deacons or servants, diakonos. That's the Greek word. So they appointed these and said, these are trustworthy men, men filled with the Spirit. Let them be serving while we concentrate in prayer and the ministry of the word. And that worked out well. And out of these seven, we are going to see emerging thunder preachers and evangelists by the name of Stephen, my name. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I will not be stoned in Jesus' name. I'm still living. Yeah, so Stephen will emerge and then you begin to preach boldly. Then when the big people, the Pharisees, saw, they said, this is beyond. Bring him over. We are going to minister to him with stones. And then and then the Bible says that he even told them something that was very traumatic to them. He said, I can see Jesus standing with his face shining. And then they said, hear what he's saying. That is blasphemy. Where is he seeing Jesus? What I'm saying is, all that was birthed out of prayer. Yeah. Then there will be Philip, the evangelist. That's the other guy who come out of the seven. So, prayer was considered by the believers. Amen. Number five, the church prayed and fasted when the Holy Spirit gave direction to the church about Paul and Barnabas. In Acts chapter 13, sorry, I omitted the scripture there. Acts chapter 13, that is where we can find that. I think it should be verse 6, somewhere there. Verse 1, going down, there will be names of the people that were present, teachers and prophets. And then, the Spirit said, separate for me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry I have appointed them. When they were praying, the Spirit of the Lord spoke. It is in the place of prayer, in the church, where the Spirit of God speaks. Amen. When we are praying. Now, the way the Spirit of God will speak is like this. You see, sometimes we want to affirm that it is the Spirit of God saying, when Stephen is praying and he says, thus says the Spirit of the Lord. That's when we say, oh, the Spirit has spoken. No. Even when we are just calling out things in prayer, we pray according to what we are hearing the Spirit saying. I've told different people, you know, I told you whereby in Zambia people will come and say, because God will use me sometimes to prophesy in people's lives and things comes to pass. So they will come now in the physical now and say, can you speak a word to me? Man of God, what is God saying in my life? I heard so and so gave a testimony. Give me a prophecy. And then I don't have even any prophecy. I'm like, okay, let's look in scripture. Give that exhortation, that word. And then you pray and say, the Lord has spoken through the word that I've given you.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know, did you see any vision or you know? I know you hate the word, you know, they even begin to cause you to go into manipulation. You hate the word, you don't just want to tell me. And if you are not disciplined, you'll be like, yeah, let me tell you what your itching ear wants to hear. You begin to force prophesy. That is very dangerous. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we'll just begin to pray. I've prophesied while I'm praying. I'm seeing things, I'm speaking them out in prayer, I'm calling, you know, prayer, prayer, prayer in those directions. And then sometimes at the end, somebody is going to say, ah, you know, you were talking about this. Actually, I didn't even tell you about this. This is exactly what I've been going through. I was in the spirit, tuned in prayer. Amen.
Yeah.
So, that's how the Holy Spirit speaks. Sometimes we'll be praying like this, and then it could not be like even specifically to say the name, Stephen, this is what God is saying about you, but a word will just come to say, someone in our midst, this is the situation, word of knowledge. And because you are going through that, you know it to say, this is me, there is no one else. Amen. And you have to respond. That's how it works. You have to respond. That is the sign of faith, the step of faith. When the pastor or a minister calls up to say, there is this situation, come up for prayer. Some people will be like, ah, I'm going to do timing first. I'm going to see. You know, I'll sit and see. I can't go. I'm feeling ashamed. Why can't God just heal me secretly? No, God wants you to obey also, to show that you have faith in him by standing up. Amen. Most of the times I've seen believers in the church, they want secret breakthrough, whereby something has been caught and they don't want to respond. They are like, ah, no, let it happen. And by the grace of God, sometime the man of God will just say, okay, I'll pray in this area. He prays, and when it happens, that's when they will jump. Hallelujah, it was me. Praise God. Show faith at that moment.
Yeah.
Amen. So, the church prayed and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, separate for me Paul and Barnabas for the mission I have appointed them to do. Praise God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will always speak in the church, in the congregation. Number six, this is where now I said, I'm going to dwell a little bit. Prayer was offered for Peter when he was in prison. The Bible tells us that Herod went ahead and arrested James. Acts chapter 12. Arrested James and then beheaded him, cut off his head. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he became obsessed. You know, politicians sometimes are very difficult, you know, because they want to use anything to win the masses. So he saw that after cutting the head of James, there was celebration by the Jews, because the Jews were opposing the preaching of the gospel. Remember, they've been fighting Jesus even when he was still living, walking on earth. They've been fighting him to the extent of crucifying him. And then the report comes that he has risen. They begin to preach. They became more furious. So, Herod says, okay, let me arrest this one. Commanded him to be beheaded. They cut off his head and then they rejoiced. And after Herod saw that the people rejoiced, the Jews rejoiced, he said, yes, for me to have more authority and power to be loved, let me please the people more. Besides James, who is another famous icon who is going to make them more happy? Peter. So, the soldiers, the guards were deployed. They went and arrested Peter. Then put him in prison. Now, when we read about this prison, this is a very strange prison. The doors were made of iron bars. Now, look at this. I want you to have this picture. Peter is arrested. is put in the innermost chamber, in the innermost prison. First door, second door, last insight is in there. And instead of letting him loose while he's already inside, closed with doors of iron bars, they still chain him. You can imagine how scared they were with this man. They still chain him, and we know that notorious criminals are the ones they chain like that. So they considered him to be a very dangerous man, armed and dangerous. Of course, spiritually. So they chained him. He's there and he's chained inside. I mentioned this area that Peter wasn't praying. Remember, this is an apostle. This is a man who is an apostle. The man who was with Jesus. This is a man who will be using his shadow to heal the sick. Just the shadow. People say, no, Peter is very busy praying for people. We have faith. He's anointed. Where is his shadow? They see where his shadow is pointing. They get the sick. They lay on the shadow. And people are recovering. Miracles are happening. This is the man who stood up in Acts chapter 5 because of Ananias and faithfulness and Sapphira. He said, judgment has come upon you because you have lied against God and the Spirit of God. People just fall physically, criggity, poo, dead. I just imagine if that happened in our contemporary, in the church. Hey! There would be news everywhere. And people begin to say, that church is not real. How can people die? But it happened. And the purpose was very simple. So that people can fear the name of the Lord. Not do jokes with church. Amen.
Amen.
The ministry, the church of Jesus had to be distinguished from any other temple. So that took place. And especially the wife was asked to say, are you seeing those men? They are from burying your husband. Tell us the truth. What happened? Because they agreed with their husband. Then went ahead and lied. Immediately, she also fell and died. This is the man. But this time, the man is sleeping. The Bible says that when he was arrested, he was fast asleep in chains. I believe it was the stress, or maybe had received some strokes from the Roman soldiers. Or maybe the chains were so tight that they wear him down. You know, we don't know what was going on with Peter. But the Bible doesn't say that the man was praying. He was sleeping. But what happened? The church was praying for him. Amen?
Amen.
The church was praying for him. Verse 5, chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. The church prayed earnestly for him. Lord, deliver Peter. They knew that this man was going to be killed as well because James had already been killed. And now, the results to the prayer, you can read all the way, you know, even on verse 12 there, all the drama that happened after Peter was released, or the whole chapter of 12, you can read up to verse 19. The story is detailed there. The angel who appeared because of the prayers of the church, he appears inside the prison. Now, what we need to understand is that angels are spiritual beings. They have no limitation. They can go anywhere. They are able to pass through the wall. They can do that. That is the state of the body which Jesus had after the resurrection. When Thomas was saying, ah, you are lying, you guys. He cannot resurrect. I saw him. They pierced through him. And they even confirmed by putting a spear in his chest. He can't. For me to believe unless if I saw where the nails passed through. Lo and behold, out of the wall, Jesus appeared. The Bible says that the room in which they were was locked, shut and locked. But they saw him inside. Whew. Thomas, come and put your finger in these holes so that you may believe. The Bible says that the moment he saw him, he bowed down his face to the ground and shouted, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. He didn't put hallelujah, but you know, he said, my Lord and my God. That is my addition. And then Jesus said, Thomas, do you believe because you have seen me? But I tell you, blessed are those who believe before they see. Amen. So this angel, he appears in the innermost chamber and he sees Peter sleeping. The Bible says that he punched him. The apostle, anointed and fast asleep in time of danger. I don't know, maybe it was like, ah, Lord, I've suffered so much. Please let me go with my brother. Let me come to you. But God said, the church refused. The church said, no. We will pray for this man to be released. His assignment hasn't yet been accomplished. So they prayed. The angel appeared, woke him up. And immediately, the chains broke off and fell to the ground. Amen. And then he told him, put on your cloak. He put on. And then he told him, put on your sandals. That is verse 8. Get dressed up and put on your sandals. He did it. Now put on your coat and follow me. Now look at this drama. So he gives him the instructions and then he tells him, follow me. Peter begins to follow. Peter is in the physical. The angel is in the spiritual form. Is in the spiritual being. At this time we experience what we call theologically angelophany, which is the manifestation of an angel in a physical body. Okay? So that he can be visible to us. And he tells him, follow me. Now, what was happening is, they will start walking. They reach the first. So, verse 9 says, so Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all that time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize that it was actually happening. Isn't this powerful and interesting? You think you are dreaming, you know. This man was sleeping, and then the angel comes and punches him to say, wake up. Maybe he was in the confusion state of sleeping. He's like, ah, maybe I'm dreaming. Not knowing that it is happening, actually, physically. And then he begins to follow. Then, verse 10, they passed the first and the second guard post and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. There is no prison that the Lord can fail to open for his children. There is no shackle, there is no chain that is super hard for the Lord to break. Just at the command of the angel, chains fell on their own. Physical chains, not spiritual chains. They fell on their own. The man is free. They begin to walk. They are passing through the guards. The guards are unaware, but the man is passing physically. They can't see. They have been blinded. How powerful it is to have such a bodyguard who can enable you to walk through your enemies without even being recognized. They are guarding you not to escape, but you are just passing right in front of them. Nothing is happening. The doors are shut, but they open up. The iron gate opened up on its own. Then they passed. The Bible says that by the time Peter was coming back to his senses, he's out and near his house. He realizes, he's like, oh, I'm here. This is my house. Okay. Then he goes to the door and he begins to knock. The believers are charging in the spirit. They are praying. He begins to knock. Kong, 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 kong. I am Peter. Please open up. The servant runs and tells them, Peter is here. He's out of the prison. God has answered the prayer. And then the Muvangas who are reading intercession, they are like, ah, no. You must be joking. How has it happened? No. That should be his angel, not himself. Can you see how sometimes, you know, we have got faith and at the same time we don't have faith? So you can wonder to say, but what were they praying for? The answer comes, again, they are the ones who are saying, ah, no, it can't be. That's how God answers prayers. Amen.
Amen.
He insisted, and then they recognized that it was him. When they opened, they were so amazed to see that it was actually Peter. He motioned with his hand to tell them, be silent. He told them the whole story, how the angel had intervened to rescue him. And he told them, tell this to my brothers. And he left for another place. When we pray, children of God, for people who are in spiritual prisons, they will be liberated in Jesus' name. There is no chain that the Lord can fail to break. There is no prison that is so secured which the Lord can fail to open. If he opened the physical doors made of iron, even the spiritual is nothing to him. Amen. Now, you can be like, ah, maybe that is one of just the incidences, you know, these things. It also happened to Peter, to Paul and Silas, rather. These guys would be arrested also for preaching the gospel. They were flogged, put in prison. And the Bible says that in the midst of the night, they began to praise and worship the Lord in hymns and psalms. Now, I'll come and talk about this. The different ways of prayer, of praying. You can pray in a song. You know, because sometimes we tend to differentiate things. When the worship team is singing, we are like, oh, no, this is not the time of prayer now. It's the time of singing. Because we enjoy music so much. We take it as some spiritual entertainment, maybe sometimes, you know. But we also pray through music. Different prayers. Prayer of confession. Prayer of lament. Even when you are crying, something is tense, you are crying. That is prayer. Amen. Even when you are failing even to shout, to open your voice, you are groaning, you are like, breathing on 0%. Is there such a thing? I hear people say that. You are praying in the spirit. Amen. When you are praying in the tongue, that is prayer. So, the church was praying. And then freedom came. In the same way, as we pray to God, I've written something to say. God sent an angel of deliverance to set him free from the chains of bondage. May God send deliverance to us and our families and friends as we gather and pray together. Is there any issue that we are passing through in life? Is there a condition? Is there a disease, a sickness, an infirmity? When we present it to the church as a request and then we pray together, the Lord will hear us, just like he heard the believers throughout as we've been reading. The angel of the Lord gave Peter instructions. May we begin to hear the angelic instructions, the visitation of the Lord. I've heard stories whereby somebody was an unbeliever. Somebody didn't even believe in the Lord. But because of their praying wife or because of their praying family member, where the person was, they didn't understand what was happening. I heard the story of a man who was a dangerous drunkard, you know, alcoholic and doing all sorts of things. The wife was a prayer warrior. She kept on presenting the same request over and over all the time. And this day, this man is driving, of course, going to the girlfriend's house. And then, all of a sudden, he didn't know he missed the street. You know? He missed the street. He didn't know. He thought it was a mistake. He misses the street. And then he's like, oh, I need to go and turn the other way. Then I'll come back and go this way. And as he's trying to go and turn, again, he just like by mistake, you know, he turns into a certain street, not knowing that that street was leading to the church and that's where it ends. And so he drives, and he finds himself in front of the church. And then people are praying, they are charging. And he's like, what's happening? Is that a church? Since this is not my wife's church, you know, let me just see, you know, survey what is going on inside. He comes out of the car. It is at the time when the pastor is finishing the sermon and is calling an otaku. So the guy is walking in and the man of God is saying, yes, come. You are the one the Lord has been waiting for. He's like, the Lord is calling me. This man, he doesn't even know me. Yes, come. And then as he's speaking, the word convicts him. He goes straight to the altar. He surrenders his life to Christ. He goes back home and gives a testimony to the wife. His life is transformed. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God works in ways we do not understand. God works in different ways. You may think that your prayers do not work. They work. Even with difficult things that sometimes you have even given up, you are like, yeah, I think we've lost it. Nothing. Not anymore. Forget about that one. That one is already a pagan, you know. We tend to give up. We tend to give up and say, ah, no, that one is done, you know. But as we persist in prayer, God is the one who works things out. Remember in the scripture that we have in Mark chapter 11 there, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and you do not doubt, it shall be done for you. I mentioned last week that our business or job is to pray, and the business of answering is God's business. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, it will be done for you. Not you will do it. No, it will be done for you. Mm. Amen. So, may we hear the angelic instructions as the Spirit of God will be ministering. The angel of the Lord made Peter to pass through the secured prison doors, just as I said, by the prison guards, without them noticing. Therefore, may the Lord send angelic intervention upon our lives as we pray earnestly as the church at VCF in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
As we pray together, the Lord is going to send answers. Testimonies will come. We've had testimonies. They are still coming. We've had testimonies. Brother Daniel yesterday reminded us of a testimony which happened in the evening prayers. Somebody came and the Holy Spirit just ministered as we were praying. And the life has been touched and transformed. Amen.
Amen.
So many things happen, even right in the service. After the message has been preached, during the prayer time, when things are called in the presence of the Lord, miracles takes place. So may we be committed as children of God. When we feel weak, let's tell others about it. Let's tell other believers about it. Present that request. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Sometimes we hear the devil whispering to us to say, no, if you tell them, they are going to know that this is what you are going through. So maybe this is your secret. Keep it, keep it, keep it. It's yours. It's yours. This disease is yours. Just keep it. Let no one know. They'll begin to see that you are sick. Say it. Those who ask will be given. Those who seek will find. Amen?
Amen.
Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Jesus didn't say, you see the door, then you go there. Just imagine, there is somebody inside there. Then I just stand here. How long am I going to stand for them to open for me without saying anything? I need to knock, to signal. Jesus is the one who told us to say we must pray, we must ask. Even when we come before the Lord, there is time for meditation and there is time for prayer. Even if we are tired, you can't just come and then you close your eyes and then you are quiet 1 hour, 30 minutes. What have you done? Of course, you are enjoying your relaxation, but in the spiritual realm, you need to ask. Amen. Ask and it shall be given. Ask. 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 And not just once, but always ask. We talk about different types of prayers. There is time also where you say, okay, today I'm not going to ask anything, but I'll just praise the Lord. I'll just adore Him, worship Him. Lord, I lift up Your name on high. You just mention all these wonderful names, His powerfulness, His awesomeness. And then you say, amen. We need to be disciplined to pray such a prayer because as human beings, we've been wired. Every time we come in the presence of God, I've seen it in the church several times. You say, let's just worship the Lord. Even Pastor Michael say that in the evening prayers. Let's just call upon the name of the Lord. Just exalt Him, worship Him. And then instead of exalting and worship, you hear now we begin to strike. In the name of Jesus, I dismantle every powers of darkness. We go in spiritual warfare. Instructions are very important. Amen. Instructions are. So we are wired as human beings. Every time we want to go in warfare, we want to ask, even when we have just been taught to say, let's just thank Him, please. He also wants to be thanked. Acts chapter, is it chapter 17? Verse. Yeah, chapter 17. Is it verse 19? I'm not so sure. The story of the 10 lepers. That is chapter 17, I believe. 17 or 19. Yeah. The 10, they go. After they get healed, they just went just like that. Forgot about the whole thing. Amen. Oh, no, not. Did I say Acts?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's Luke.
Luke, yeah.
Oh, so sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, it's because no. It's because I've been Acts, so I keep on talking about Acts.
The same guy wrote it.
Sorry? Oh, yeah. That is encouraging, but no, not really an excuse. You're a good encourager. You're a good encourager. So it is Acts chapter 17, verse 11. That's where we'll find that story. Verse 11 to 19. So the 10 lepers come before the Lord. They are crying, Lord, have mercy upon us. Help us. Jesus tells them to say, because according to the law at that time, every leper had to live outside the city.
Yeah.
So that, because they were considered to be unclean. So for them to be accepted back in the society, they had to go before the priest to be examined by the priest. And then the priest will confirm them to say, okay, you are healed. No more leprosy. Welcome to the community. So Jesus told them to say, go and show yourselves up to the priests. He didn't say, go back to your houses. He knew that they were going to be rejected and chased. So he told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Why? So that they could be confirmed that they were healed. As they, on their way, the Bible says that on their way to the priest, they were healed. And after they were healed, what happened? What did you do if somebody blesses you with something? Okay, just as human beings, what happens? If somebody gives you something, what are you supposed to do? Normally as a human being. Simple. Just say thank you. Now, so Jesus was expecting them to go back and say, thank you, Lord, it is done. We are healed. They were like, that guy maybe is strange. Yeah, he has healed us, but we need to go now to do our own businesses. 9 of them. Actually, they were Jews, children of God. We are supposed to know better.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, a Samaritan, a Gentile, he remembered, he said, I've been healed by the Lord. He went and looked for Jesus wherever he was. He found him and he said, Lord, he bowed before him and said, Lord, thank you. I have been healed. Now, Jesus will ask a question to say, were they not 10? Where are the other 9 except this foreigner? Why did Jesus ask that? He wanted a prayer of thanksgiving to be given. Amen. And then he said, your faith has made you whole. So I came to this because I was talking about different kinds of prayers. We'll talk about that later. That at times, it's important to just say, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You recall the testimonies which God has done. That will also keep us in check and in faith.
Yeah.
To remember to say, I passed through that problem. It was not because of my mighty or my power, but God helped me. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Blessed be your name, O Lord.
Yes.
We are so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and your mercy.
Amen.
Thank you for your word that has come today. We pray that, Lord, may we put this word into practice.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to be able to be committed to church, to be able to be committed, Lord, to the corporate prayers of the church, Lord, just as the apostles prayed earnestly. Just as the believers prayed constantly, may we also be disciplined in that way, that we may see the miracles, just like Peter was released from prison. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I've got questions here. The first one is, what is God saying to you concerning his word today? I want us to just, based on everything I've said, I know I've talked a lot. So what is God saying? God has been also saying to you something. Amen? I was just helping you to hear more from the Lord. What do you think has been preventing you from experiencing miracles and answered prayers? Have you been praying alone? Or have you been wanting to pray alone? Or have you been wanting to pray as believers, as a group? Those are the things that we need to consider. What should be done today which will make a difference in your life, in your prayer life?
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about the power of being together. I know most of us haven't been like coming together to do corporate prayers. Then if your resolution is going to be, I'm going to be joining the evening prayer so that I can be helped more by my fellow believers, praise the Lord, that is going to be powerful. Ask God, finally, prayerfully, to show you what you must do concerning his word as he is leading you. Amen.
Amen.
So go ahead and break up in groups.